Jaya Gopedana Balava Jaya Giri Vardari Jaya Giri Vardari Jaya Gopedana Balava Jaya Giri Vardari Jaya Giri Vardari Jaya Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Dhanuranjana Jaya Braja Dhanuranjana Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Dhanuranjana Jaya Braja Dhanuranjana Jaya Jaya Braja Dhanuranjana Jaya Braja Dhanuranjana Jaya Braja Kundavi Hari Jaya Ramana Tiravana Chari Jaya Kundavi Hari Jaya Samana Tiravana Chari Jaya Kundavi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Kunjari Jaya Gopedana Balava Jaya Giri Vardari Jaya Giri Vardari Gopedana Balava Jaya Giri Vardari Jaya Giri Vardari Jaya Gopedana Balava Jaya Giri Vardari Jaya Giri Vardari Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prince goes to get the tea, Tanya Pamanet and Hondo, shall we to get out of home? Sibasari goes up to Miniki, Harinam Sankataki, Shishi Radakrishna Gopinath, Radakun, Samakun, Giri Govadanki, Shishi Vendavan Maturadanki, Shishi Chan, Ludoimande, Mayapur and Havaditanki, Purushor Mushat Jagannath Puridanki, Shishi Jagan, Bavade Subhadra Maharaniki. She Kishore Kishore Ki, she Govrani Thai Ki, Govrani Thai Ki, Samabeda Bhakta Vrindi Ki, Tosi Devi Bhakti Devi Gagamayi, Munamayi Ki, Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Brihad Murdanga, Distribute Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Literature all over the world Ki, Samabeda Bhakta Vrindi Ki, all glories to the assembled upon you, all glories to the assembled upon you. All glories to the assembled body. All glories, Shri Shri Guru Winka Bang. All glories to the Prabhupada. Before I say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I'll sort of introduce myself a little bit. Yesterday I had to go to the head office in the apartment where my wife lives and present some documents indicating that I was going to be a resident there. So I hope I can stay here in Chicago. This is an amazing temple. But, you know, it's only fair for me to let you know what you've taken on here if indeed you agree to have, you know, allow me to participate. And it's actually, I told this story to two nice ladies in the office at the apartment down there. Copley Group Real Estate Agency, the Copley Group. Anyway, so there they were. And at some point, somehow or another, you know, I guess we started talking about God. I don't know how that came up. But the topic of God, you know, became a prominent consideration for the three of us in that little office. And so I said to them, like, actually, I was inspired by Krishna Archana and, of course, Badahari and this amazing section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, here's what it's all about. And I've experienced this. The worst things, what could happen worse for poor Bali Maharaj? The worst things that have happened to me in my life, and some of them were doozies. I'm 70 years old. I can look back on it all, and I'll tell you, absolutely, the worst things that you can imagine that have ever happened to you or may even still happen at some point, they're ultimately for the best. Whatever doesn't kill you can only make you stronger. So here's what I did. Really impress this point on these two very nice ladies. I said, look at me. I said, look at me. I said, back in 69, a year after I saw my guru, I saw Srila Prabhupada in 68. I said, a year after that, having been born into a completely atheistic, staunchly atheistic family, and following that philosophy, I became so intensely miserable, trying to find unlimited happiness from sex and drugs, basically. I became so miserable that by the time I was, I guess, 22 years old, which would have been 1969. Yeah, 22 years old, 1969. I jumped out of a 5-story window. It had become so hellish for me, my existence. I decided, that's it, I'm going to end it all. And, you know, I was an atheist. I didn't even know. I had no clue. I thought that was it. That would end it all. No more suffering. Several months later, when I came out of a coma, there was a nurse looking down at me. And listen to what, let me tell you what she said. She said, Mr. Hansel. That's how they address, you know, patients, last name, and a Miss, Mrs. or a Mr. Mr. Hansel. It was 50-50 whether you got through this or not. God must have some plan for you. So I'm thinking maybe she was right. So, and this proves it, though. This is scriptural. This is saying the same thing much more beautifully than I could hope to. I'm an example of what not to do in life if I had to tell you all the things. See, Prabhupada said there's two kinds of intelligence, right? The one that learns by doing and the other that learns by hearing. I've always had to make the mistakes and suffer like anything. So, but I'm lucky somehow Krishna gave me an amazing wife. And I'll run an idea by her and she'll say, no, this much of it is good, the rest throw away. And anyway, too much about me. Now let's talk about Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather, the wife of Bali Maharaj, Vishnu, Brahma, amazing personalities. It's such an incredible thing. Okay, I see it now. Text 26. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. Canto 8, chapter 22, text number 26. Janma karma vayorupa vidaisvaya danadibi yadyasya nabhavit sambhas tatrayam maranugraha Janma karma bhayarupa vidyaisvaya danadibhi yadyasyana bhavit stambhas tatrayam maranugraha Janma karma bhayarupa Vidyaisvaya danadibhi yadyasya nabhavet stambhas tatra yang madanugraha. Please repeat. Janma, by birth in an aristocratic family. Karma, by wonderful activities, pious activities. Baya, by age, especially youth. When one is capable of doing many things. Rupa, by personal beauty, which attracts everyone. Vidya, by education. Aishvarya, by opulence. Dana, by wealth. Adibi, by other opulences also. Yadi, if. Asya, of the possessor. Na, not. Bhavat, there is. Stambaha, pride. Tatra, in such a condition. Iham, a person. Mat anugraha, should be considered to have received my special mercy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education, and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of all these opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, when in spite of possessing all these opulences, a person is not proud, this means that he is fully aware that all his opulences
are due to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He therefore engages all his possessions in the service of the Lord. A devotee knows very well that everything, even his body, belongs to the Supreme Lord. If one lives perfectly in such Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that one's being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered this... Wait a minute. The conclusion is that one's being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. If one continues in his opulent position, but does not become unnecessarily proud, falsely thinking that he is the proprietor of everything, this is the Lord's special mercy.
Om Ayana Tibrahandasya Janadara Salakaya Chakram Letam Kintam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
I was sitting in the darkness of ignorance with my eyes shut tight, but my spiritual master came with a torchlight of knowledge and opened them. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristo Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Name.
Namaste Saraswate Deve Gurubani Placharane Nirvisesha Sunyavari Pasyatare Satarane.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
By chanting together like that three times, Hare Krishna, this class is worthwhile, in spite of whatever else I may say and how much I don't understand. The conclusion is that one's being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. Wait a minute. Is this a misedited sentence here? I'm having a hard time with it. Anyway, we'll get back to that. I'm hoping someone will ask a question about that during the question and answer period. What I want to talk about is Lord Brahma. I would like to talk about Lord Brahma. Again, I'm indebted to Her Grace Krishna Archana, because she did a lot of study and you know, put together a really nice presentation for us all. I'm much too lazy to do anything like that, so as I say, I'm very much indebted to her for having done that and brought out a lot of really great points. And what I got out of it, and I ran it by, didn't I run that by you, that Lord Brahma, he's a fault finder. Lord Brahma is a fault finder. And who does he find fault with? Vishnu. And Lord Brahma finds fault with Krishna, Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. He's like indicating that, come on, you've already punished him enough. What are you doing? You took everything from him and now you're trying to humiliate him. Isn't that sort of what, you know, that's what Brahma was saying to Vishnu. You know, come on, you've done enough already. Look, his grandfather, you know, his wife, they're having to intercede on his behalf because you're getting way too heavy with Bali Maharaj. So what is it to be an offender? You know what? The gopis cursed Lord Brahma. You all know the reason, right? Why? How come? Yeah. Absolutely. And it's both. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 4, I think 153, and it's in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam being quoted in the Adi Lila. So there you go. I mean, Brahma's in a rough spot. You've been Brahma. TJ, you were Brahma one time. We're given to understand we've all been Brahma. So we all have that same tendency to... How long does Brahma live? Anybody in here know how long is the lifetime of Brahma? 311 trillion, 40 billion years, the lifetime of Brahma. So when people say, oh, you're an old soul, oh, you're an old soul, that's ridiculous. Huh? Come on. Everyone is more ancient than we can even begin to imagine. We're all eternal. We're all eternal. There's your answer. Come on, who's older? We're all eternal, and we've all been Brahma. So, you know, the relative nature of that kind of thinking, it doesn't go anywhere. It's just pointless. It has no value whatsoever. You're an old soul. You know, come on, give me a break. And that's our answer when people, you know, Prabhupada, he didn't hesitate. He'd say to people, you're nonsense. So we shouldn't do that. I can't get away with it. You know, Prabhupada said, there's some things I can say, but better that you don't. But still, we can understand like that, that, you know, our philosophy gives us an incredible degree of clout. We have major power when it comes to, you know, philosophical discussions based on the knowledge from the Vedas. Nothing else even comes close. Arun, right? Arun? We've both met this amazing person. He's going to come here, I'm convinced. He'll come here and he'll take up devotional life. I was trying to, you know, encourage him like that. I said to Arun, Punjabi, apparently he hangs out by Loyola. I said to Arun, I said, consider your Mahabharat. You know, consider the Mahabharat. There's one point in the Mahabharat. It's like a complete mind bender. You know, what's the nature of literature? Someone who's an author, they want to grab your attention. They want to shake you up. They want to, you know, maintain some interest in whatever it is they're offering in the pages of their book, their masterpiece, whatever they're hoping it will be. And so my claim is you can take Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey, you can take Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace, and you can take all the plays and sonnets of Shakespeare, and you can throw them in the garbage. Let me give you an example where I have full faith and confidence in making such a bold declaration. Consider Maharaj Yudhisthira. He's in the tent. It's day 12 out of 18 days. Great battle is going on. King Yudhisthira says, bring me Arjuna. Bring him in here now. Yudhisthira could be heavy, you know. So anyway, so Arjuna comes into the tent, headquarters, you know, the big headquarters tent. Yudhisthira says to Arjuna, the ultimate Kshatriya, you know, Arjuna. The greatest Kshatriya that anyone can even begin to imagine. Yudhisthira says to this Kshatriya, his own brother Arjuna, he says to Arjuna, you lied! You're a liar! And you're a coward! You're afraid! He says that to Arjuna. Yudhisthira says that to his own brother Arjuna. And Arjuna is immediately ready to kill him. He's angry, as angry as you can imagine. Then Yudhisthira says, you're afraid of Karna. You told me that we wouldn't have to worry about Karna. But he's out there, he's killing Akshahini after Akshahini, millions and millions of our soldiers for the Kauravas. He's killing right and left and no one's stopping him. And it's your fault, Arjuna. You lied to us and you're afraid of Karna. Of course, Yudhisthira didn't know who's the chariot driver of Arjuna. Yeah, so Krishna's always taking him to the other side. Come on, it's the sixth Pandava. And he was the oldest brother. Huh? Quick sidebar, my name's Sarvopama. It's a name for Lord Balram. Das, Sarvopama Das. I'm the servant of Lord Balram. Huh? And what does my name mean? I said, Prabhupada, right here. Well, in Evanston, same thing, Chicago. I said, Prabhupada, what does my name mean? You know, he handed me my beads, 1975 here in Chicago. So Prabhupada handed me my beads. And someone try to remember where I left off from, remind me when we come back to the regular, whatever it was I was talking about. But I got to throw this one at you. So Prabhupada, you know, I said, what does my name mean? What does that mean? Prabhupada said, blah, 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 blah. So I tried again, second time. I said, Prabhupada,
What does my name mean?
And he went, same thing. So third strike, I was out, I gave up. So like a few years went by, maybe two, three, even could have been four years, I ran into a devotee named Gopi Puranadana, Sanskrit scholar, you know, a real pundit. And I asked him, and he said, sarva means all, sarva means all, and upama means equal to. So you take the A on the end of sarva, and you put it together with the U on upama, and you get an O. So your name, Sarvopama, means the servant, das, of he who is best of all. It's the name for Krishna that means best of all. And so I went with that for years and years, you know, because we ask each other, you know, what does your name mean? You know, Acharya Nista. Nice name. Nista, what does Nista mean? Yeah, what a great name. Huh? Yeah. Jitendriya, the one that can conquer the senses. So anyway, so my name, Sarvopama, is and Jai Baladev. You know, we have the same names because it turns out, here's what happened about very recently, maybe only 12 or 15 years ago, I Googled it. I Googled my name. And boom, there it was. It's in the Balram Sahasranam. See, you and I, our names are, you know, yours is obviously, but mine's a little covered over. And it's a name for Lord Balram. And it's number 99 in the Balram Sahasranam. And it means, and all of a sudden I saw it and I went, oh, that's what Prabhupada said. I could, my hearing kind of went all the way back and connected to the words that had come from him to me that I couldn't get. But then all of a sudden, seeing it written down, I went, oh, wow, that's what he said. That's what he said. It means I'm the servant of he who is best of all. Lord Balram's better than Krishna. Why? Yeah, everyone in India, when I go, why, they know the punchline. He's the older brother. All right, where was I? What were we talking about? Okay, Arjuna. Yeah, right. It's a dramatic scene. So Arjuna's there. And Yudhisthira is like, you know, poking him heavy. And so Arjuna's getting angry. But Krishna's protecting Arjuna is really what it boils down to. So finally, Yudhisthira, he says like this. He says, Arjuna's already angry enough to kill. So then he does this. Then he says this. He says, not only that, Arjuna, when your son, Abhimanyu, was chopped to pieces from behind in the vyuha, going in to try to get Jayadratha, right? He knew the mantras to get in. But he said to all the soldiers, warriors, that were, you're going to have to keep it open and break it apart so I can get back out. They couldn't. They couldn't. So the Kauravas took advantage and they killed. They killed. Now, Yudhisthira brings that up. And he says, when your son, Abhimanyu, was chopped to pieces, slaughtered like an animal by the Kauravas, Duryodhana and Karna, they laughed. Now, when Yudhisthira said that, it was too much. Arjuna pulls his sword out of his sheath and he's about to chop off Yudhisthira's head when suddenly there's a hand on Arjuna's shoulder. Who is it? Yeah, Krishna! What does Krishna say? He says, Arjuna, you don't want to do this. It won't look good in history. Come on, is there any literature anywhere else that even comes close? You know, when you take the Ramayana, and you know, come on, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's all so sweet. Nothing else even can come close. All the other literature in the world is nothing. And then also, if you want to talk to someone about science, huh? We got, what's it called? Chaturved. We have Chaturved, four Vedas. Yajra, Atharva, Sama, Rig. Those are the four basic Vedas. And the oldest one, it's the most ancient Purana of them all. That's the Rig Veda, right?
20,000 years old, maybe, you know, 10, 20, 30, tens of thousands of years. So ancient, we can't even begin to imagine. Current historical references, they don't even, they can't, you know, it doesn't even come up. They can go back 5,000 years maximum. You know, the history books that we have access to in the standard educational community. In the Rig Veda, there's an accurate number four, speed of light. It's there. And not only that, it's in nimesha. You know, it's measured in, not in seconds, but nimesha, which is about a half a second, 0.43, I think, something. So it's more precise and accurate than the numbers that they're all so proud of. When you look at history of science in today's world, they give credit for the speed of light discovery to some guy in Denmark a few hundred years ago. Pythagorean theorem from the Vedas, right? But the British, they had clout. They had some control. So they got angry, sour grapes. You know, if we can't have India, to hell with India. So they laid out a whole story on India because they were in charge of education throughout the world. Oxford, Cambridge, you know. They were respected, you know, and honored in all the, you know, the whole world's educational scene. So the British basically, you know, they took all credit away from India as much as they could, and then they looked around and they said, okay, we'll give it to the Greeks. It's totally bogus, you know. But it's in the books, so people believe it. You know what Napoleon said? Bonaparte, yeah. He said, history is a lie agreed to. Who's in charge of history? The victors, the people that win this, that, or the other war. They decide who's going to read what about what did or did not happen. Who knows even why we fought Vietnam War? Huh? Probably the same people anyway, you know. It's crazy. So we're in a crazy world. Totally crazy. So, the only answer is follow the example of Bali Maharaj. Sarvadharmam prityajamayakam saranam braja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo moksaya sami masuchaha. What's that mean? We're hearing over and over again, and surrender. He surrendered his body. We have to surrender. You know, that's actually that verse, that's 1866, last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada quotes that in other places, you know, in the Bhagavatam, in purports, and everywhere. Chaitanya Charitamrita purports. Prabhupada quotes 1866 twice as often as the next most often quoted verse. That's our most important verse. And it's our most important thing to do. Surrender. Just give up everything else. Just give up everything. And I've got an advantage. I've been kicked out of 6 or 7 temples. So that's been a regular great blessing for me. I had no choice. I had to surrender. And it's interesting now when I look back on it all. When I was kicked out of Chicago, I had a room. It's the next room down from Rocktalk. I was in that room. And I had it completely full of garbage. Maybe Chitendri still has some of that somewhere. It was packed from floor to ceiling with just garbage. And then, you know, different place. Actually, I had been kicked out of a few other places before that. 1970, I got Rupanuga, the president of the New York Temple on Henry Street in Brooklyn. He said, this is not a hotel for lazy, crazy people. I had my trombone. You know, I was walking back and forth across the Brooklyn Bridge to go to my work. I was working at Crocs and Brentano's bookstore. He said, no, that's not our program here. You're going to have to go. I go, okay. So that was there. Oh, and then Boston. So that was 60, no, that was 70. Only a year later in Boston, the temple president and the temple commander had me in the basement and they had a knife to my throat. And they said, here's your bicycle. Oh, actually, I said, can I have my bicycle? They said, yeah, take your bicycle and you're out of here. Boston, 1970. So Henry Street, I lasted a couple days. Boston, 2 months. Now, why did the devotees think I was crazy? See, I'd hitchhiked back and forth across the country a couple times in that year. And my feet were like, you know, moccasins.
from that, being barefoot. I never wore any shoes because I was a crazy hippie, you know. So I'm not going to tell you any more details, but just to give you an idea how, whoa, out of it I was. It was December, so there was snow on the ground, and I would do 32 rounds. See, I had a chip on both shoulders. My attitude was, you people think you know yoga. I'm going to show you a thing or two. So they said 16, I was doing 32 every day. And during Joppa, I was walking barefoot in the snow around the temple. I was circumambulating the temple barefoot in the snow, chanting my 32 rounds. And then I'd come inside. Satarupa, you know Prajapati Das? His wife is named Satarupa. And somehow or another, I guess everyone else was out on the pick. Well, for whatever reason, she would sing Tulsi. Namo, namo. Oh, no, actually, no, I'm wrong. Maybe she sang Tulsi too, but around noon, she would sing Bajapakatabat. And I'd go into like just a total trance because she sang that so beautifully. And and then I'd look into the sun. I'd look directly into the sun the whole time she was singing. I have cataracts now. I need surgery. I'm going to go to India for cataract surgery. So I was insane. Long and short of it, I was totally out of my mind. But because I had association with devotees like that, and I was chanting like that, when they finally got rid of me after 2 months, a lot of things had like gelled and crystallized and taken shape within me. And I kept chanting 32 rounds a day. And I rode my bike down to where my mother and father lived in Rhode Island. What else can you do? You got to go to your mom and dad, you know. Everything else is like been destroyed. I destroyed everything else. Here I am with my bicycle. And so it was a sleet storm. I had to ride my bike 80 miles from Boston down to Ashaway, Rhode Island. So I fell over. The bike fell over and a guy in a pickup truck threw me in the back of his pickup truck and said, where are you trying to get to? And he delivered me to the doorstep of my parents' home in Rhode Island. So they said, we're leaving. We sold the house, we're leaving. So they went to Portugal. And what they did is they helped me get into a YMCA in Providence and I started driving a cab. And then, so, you know, I was able to go from the YMCA into some kind of a house somewhere up in the attic. I don't know, you know, I could afford it from my cab fares. And then I went to school and I studied drafting. I went to night school while I was driving a cab. I went to night school and I learned how to draft. And actually I was the best student. You know, what are you going to do? Because I was chanting. It's my claim. It's my explanation. And the head of the school, Norman, if I think I could remember. He was a little guy, but he was like full of energy. Lockhart, Norman Lockhart. So Norman Lockhart took a shine to me, and he always helped me, and he was very encouraging. And when I graduated, after not too long, maybe a year or two, I don't know even, can't remember. Might have been, see, that was, seven. So, oh, that was 72. Actually, December 72, no, December... December 71, I moved in for 2 months, and then it was 72. So then around end of 72 or 73, we got a different Norman Lockhart, right? Anyway, I'm confusing names here. It'll come together. But the point being that this guy, he helped me out because he helped me get a job at a big, big company called Brown & Sharp in Rhode Island. And I was chanting Hare Krishna, like anything, and all the time. I was just constantly chanting. But I do it really quietly because I was embarrassed. I didn't want anyone to catch me doing that. It was weird. So I had this job, and what it was they were training me up to set up what's called a screw machine. Now, the way a screw machine works is... you put in a long bar of steel, stainless, any kind of metal, really. And then there's a mechanism that clutches onto that bar, and it spins it about 3,000 RPM, pretty fast. And then blades come in, and they cut it into nuts and bolts and screws and washers, whatever you set it up for. So they train me up on that, and I'm like this. I'm like, I got a little ball peen hammer, you know, and I've got my micrometer, and I'm like bang, bang, bang. I'm knocking in all the little blades until they're just at the right point, where when the thing spins, they'll cut it off right dimension. Now, normally when you're going through the training process, they figure they're going to fill up so many buckets of scrap metal while you're learning. Here's the thing. I'm going, no scrap metal. They couldn't believe it. So after a while, they put my whole group, unit, whatever, you know, there were about a half a dozen of us, maybe a few more, something like that, through a series of tests. We had to write down answers, multiple choice, do some, solve some this and that, one thing or another. And I scored really high, apparently, so they promoted me up into the engineering firm. I said, I'm not an engineer. They said, yeah, but you know how to draft. See, I'd taken that course and everything. So they're kind of giving me a break. And so I was working, and, you know, I missed being down in the factory, though. Because the minute I was up there in the management upstairs, you know, with all the engineers and stuff, I had to kind of like, all of a sudden, I had to become involved with them and their families and after work garbage and this and that. Whereas when you were down in the factory, you had your own life. You came in, you did your job, and then you went home. And you had your own life. But the minute you become involved with the higher-ups, you know, on one level, it seemingly you could say it's more personal, but at the same time, because of the personalities involved and the pressures of being still a wage slave, in other words, when I was in the factory, I had to punch in and punch out. There was no question. Whereas when I was upstairs, we'd come in at like, you know, 10 in the morning, and we'd leave at 2. Well, I have to entertain a client. And it was just total cheating. Total cheating at the expense of the regular workers. I saw that right away, and I didn't like it. I thought, I don't want to be involved in this. This is bad news. So then I got a 2-week vacation after I got about a year or whatever, and I went to Hawaii, and I saw the devotees. And, you know, I saw they had big, beautiful, you know, tulsi trees and everything. So when I came back to from Hawaii, I landed in Boston, and I thought, I guess I'll just go see what the devotees are up to. I'll go to the Boston Temple. So I landed at Logan in Boston. I got on the subway, and I went to Harvard Square. And I was thinking, then I'll just walk across the Charles River, and it's not far, less than a mile walk, or not much more, to Alston, where the temple was on Beacon Street. So that was my plan. But I came out of the subway in Cambridge, you know, and there were devotees everywhere. And, you know, in saffron, basically. And so I you know, I paid my obeisances to them, and then I talked to them, and all of a sudden they said, oh, you got to talk to Tamal Krishna and Vishnu Jayamaraj. So there I was, you know, and there was Tamal Krishna, and I went like this. I said, Prabhus, you know, they kicked me out of the temple here in Boston, like, you know, a couple of years ago. Tamal Krishna immediately says, oh, the administrative personnel in that temple, they were all in Maya. You're fine. You come with us. So anyway, that's my teaser. I've got that out on the internet. It's my teaser. He was to live to regret that decision. And the reason actually is in volume 2 of Vyasaki's Radha Damodar Vilas, volume 2, Bhakta Elton. So anyway, my point being, though, once again, I mean, my life, Jitendra knows me, it's like it's just a series of disasters. One disaster after another. But ultimately, that's my point. That's my point. I mean, look at that. His life is finished. He's given up everything. He's surrendering not only, you know, the whole freaking universe and everything he was able to get from the demigods. He's the most powerful person anywhere. And he's just, okay, take it away. You got nothing? You got nothing to lose. Huh? That's the ultimate ideal. The more you claim, the more I'm claiming in this world, the more I'm going to have to be in anxiety. It's a fact. The more I think I got anything, the more I'm going to have to worry about how someone or another is going to be able to take it away from me. Krishna is Arjuna's chariot driver. How many different ways? And he's the door. He's holding the door for Bali Maharaj, right? And what's, I was just reading ahead a little bit. I can't remember. The planet. Sutala. Yeah. So Bali Maharaj goes to Sutala. And Krishna is there as his humbled servant, opening and closing his door. And I mean, there's so many examples. Oh, okay. Final story about Brahma. And because I think we mentioned Shiva. Oh, someone asked a heavy-duty question. There's Jiva Tattva, and there's the 12 Mahajans. Good question. And unfortunately, we were all rescued by Subal because he said, no, Lord Shiva is, you know, Jiva Tattva. Fortunately, no one threw any zingers at me today because I'm useless. Senile dementia, you can, you know, trip me up and throw me down and, you know... kick me to the curb easy on any of this stuff because, you know, my mind's mostly gone. You know, I lost my mind long ago. Now I have no choice. I have to live from my heart. So we talked about, Buddha Hari brought up Kadamba, the Kadamba flower story. You know the Kadamba flower, right? Taken from the heavenly, you know, is it Krishna? Oh, Parijata, okay, yeah. But there's, okay, flowers are so important. Flowers are important. Have you ever heard of the Kataki flower? You know the story of the Kataki flower? Oh, wait till you hear this. It's going to blow your mind. Shiva's in this. And I'm finished. This is it. You guys have had to tolerate me long enough, so this is my final little bit here. one time, Vishnu and Brahma. Vishnu and Brahma again. They're arguing. And Brahma is saying, I'm more important than you, Vishnu. You just maintain. I'm the creator. Who are you? You know, it's like that. Brahma, what an offensive person, you know, directly offensive to Krishna, you know, Vishnu. So they're like that. And all of a sudden, boom, crack, there's this gigantic pillar of light that comes up right between them. It's this gigantic... It's a Shiva Lingam. But I mean, not just a piece of stone. We're talking bright power. A column of brightest power you can even begin to imagine. Huh? So immediately now this offers the possibility of a contest. And so Brahma says, let's see who can find out the full extent of this. And Brahma takes on the form of a swan. And Vishnu is so humble, Varaha. So he goes down, Varaha. He's digging down with his tusks. And they're doing this for thousands, tens of thousands of years. Brahma is going up, 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 trying to find the, you know, the length, the full extent. Where? How far? So he's flying and flying and flying. I'm telling you, he's flying at the speed of light. He's going faster than anyone can even begin to imagine. And there's no end to it. Huh? Same thing, Vishnu, he's going down and down. He's getting a little tired. You know, digging through all this stuff to try to... He can't find either of them. They're just moving. It's limitless. It's without any end. No beginning, no end. Huh? So all of a sudden, Brahma, you know, the swan, he sees a Kataki flower way up on this, you know, column. And bear in mind that flowers tend to be a little gullible. It will help us understand this a little. They're beautiful flowers, but they're a little bit gullible. So what happens is Brahma says to the flower, so this must be the end. Well, you know, how you're here, someone offered you to this column, obviously. So this is it, right? And the Kataki flower says, I don't know. And so Brahma says, well, look, I want you to verify and vouch for me here, basically lie for me. But, you know, he soft pedals it, just vouch for me that, you know, you're here at the top and I found you. And so I can claim that I found the, you know, end of this thing. And so he comes back, you know, and Vishnu is, you know, understands, of course, he knows everything that's going on. But, you know, he's, I'm tired. That's it. I couldn't find. So Brahma says, I found. And here's my witness. And in that moment, the column, it becomes Mahadev Ashutosh. Right? Easily pleased and easily angered. He's angry. And he says to Brahma, "You're a liar. You and your little flower friend, you're both lying." So, and then says, "I will never accept Kaitaki as an offering from this day forth. And you, Lord Brahma, will never be worshipped ever." So it's true. There is one temple in India, though, Pushkar. In Pushkar, they worship Lord Brahma. And a few other. But I mean, as far as a major temple, there's only one good-sized temple for Lord Brahma. So that's, you know, that's how it all shakes out. You gotta love it, huh? There's no drama or excitement or detail or intrigue in any other literature that even comes close to the kind of things that we have access to in the Vedas. And you know, geez, here I am, I'm trudging along, I'm stumbling along so many years, and I've only just begun to appreciate, you know, how amazing this is, what we have. Huh? Yeah. So, all glorious. Any questions, comments? You got a zinger? Shoot. Holiday.
All right, Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. Appreciate it a lot. I'm sure it'll help a lot of people, especially with people dealing with suicide also.
Yeah.
So my kind of questions related to that is that the tendency is that, I forgot my question, that's what the tendency is. But you were mentioning, oh yeah, that was my question. So anyway, I really appreciated that point where you were mentioning that I appreciate your class, especially because we see many people who make mistakes, who've gone through far less than you have, and far less things kill their enthusiasm. But the reason I appreciate you is because you've gone through so much, and still your enthusiasm isn't killed. And I suspect, I mean, you could verify that you've gone through that suicide incident, and a lot of times when we don't go through some struggle like that is that, like you were mentioning, you said, if you have nothing, then you have nothing to lose. And one of the most prized possession for us is our prestige. You know, we try to avoid any embarrassment, so we try to cover our mistakes, and that kind of prevents us from growing in Krishna consciousness. And can you expand on the point of when I'm really... For me, my understanding of Krishna consciousness, that one of the reasons that takes our enthusiasm from Krishna consciousness, because from Vaishnava Parad, like a lot of times people say, I have a lot of mistakes, therefore I'm not gonna try to preach too much about Krishna consciousness. I'm not gonna sit on Vyasa sign. But can you explain a little bit about how we're all on the Vyasa sign? Is that Krishna? We're in the spotlight all the time. Krishna can see within our heart, and just because we're not on the Vyasa sign, you know, that doesn't mean we could offend devotees in private. We're always on a Vyasa sign, always in the spotlight, and Krishna sees that. And one example I like to use a lot is that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified Jagai Madai, this is in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The interesting thing about this point is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the community of Vaishnavas, I have purified Jagai Madai of all their sins. And if you offend them, thinking them sinners still, then you'll be destroyed. And Krishna could, that's the tendency is that, you know, we're always on the spotlight, but we don't keep it in mind. That's why I feel that's what takes our enthusiasm. And then we so worried about so many little mistakes that take our enthusiasm away. So can you expand on that point a little bit?
Yeah, Krishna is omniscient. Nice question. You're saying so, you know, there's, you delineated the four defects that, I have imperfect senses, I'm always an illusion, and therefore I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to cheat to cover my rear. So, but your point is so nice. You're saying that everyone's in that situation. So, best thing for us to do is just to try to understand Krishna's seeing it all. Krishna's seeing it all. So, why should I worry about what anyone else is seeing? Because it's really between each individual, you know, soul and the Supreme Lord. That's the only thing that really matters. All the other things. And, you know, no one wants to be in a hospital. No one wants to be on a gurney, you know, on their way to the helicopter, then whatever, you know. It happened to me. That also. In 2002, I was riding a horse in Alachua. And it fell over backwards on top of me, broke my hip. And I'm lying in the gurney, and I'm saying, I hope you people realize, you know, they're pushing me around and this and that into a helicopter and then into the operating room or whatever. And I'm continually saying to all the people, I hope you realize that I don't have any money. I have zero penny or anything to give to any of you people. And they're, over and over again, they look down at me and they say, Mr. Hansel, this is an emergency. Don't you worry. We're going to take care of you. Quick sidebar, $100,000 later, I never paid any of them. For years, there were collection agencies coming after me, and for a student loan, too. Here's the thing, though. Here's what I've learned from that. You can have unlimited medical, debt's the word. You can have unlimited, you can have, practically speaking, apparently, unlimited, 100 grand is, to me, that seems like a lot. And maybe $10,000, $20,000 worth of student loan debt. Do you know anything about credit rating? The numbers for a credit rating? 850, right? That's the highest score you can get, credit rating. You know about numbers for credit ratings? Nobody here knows about that? You're so fortunate. But 850 is a high. I got 833. You know, it goes from red, it goes from red to, you know, orange, yellow, and finally get in green up here. Excellent. So, yeah, my credit rating is excellent. So, apparently, they don't take into account. So, my point to answer your question is, you know, people in the material world, they're playing all these different bizarre, weird games to try to be one up on each other. All these different weird, bizarre ego games. And the minute we surrender to Krishna, they're all gone. They're just completely gone. We're no. Srila Prabhupada came along, and Srila Prabhupada said, now you're no longer part of the wage slave world. Prabhupada immediately, automatically, completely freed us from the wage slave world. Then he, in 1977, he left, and a lot of devotees dove back into it. Unnecessarily. Because really, if we completely become surrendered to Prabhupada's system, then, you know, we're following the advice that you seem to be promoting based on your excellent question. We just, you know, we see that everyone is pure, perfect devotee. And all these apparent blemishes and flaws and difficulties and problems and errors and whatever you want to call them, they don't amount to a hill of beans. You know, the minute, if you go out anywhere, and you find anybody, Chicago or wherever you happen to be on the planet Earth, and you get them to say Hare Krishna, especially if they've never said it before, you've just changed the entire world for the better. That's what counts. Haranama, 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 God dear on you. There's no other way. You know, we have the only real, worthwhile, powerful, incredible, incomparable. There's nothing else that even comes close to what we have to offer in this world. And it brings us to the point where we can consider the excellent question that you just asked. You know, what is it with all these, you know, difficulties that we feel like we have or we think that someone else has? They don't really, for all practical purposes, I was roommates with Jayananda for a while on West 55th in New York City. And that he was the personification. He was the living, walking, breathing instant or example of someone that he lived according to that. No one, from, you know, whenever I was around him, I felt like I was worth more. Why? Because he personified this point that you've so excellently brought up. That, you know, all these apparent problems and, you know, editing of the books, you know, horrific, this and that. People, you know, this is like people trying to find fault with each other for no good reason. Huh? to boost their own little ego for a moment. See, I got a special little track now, so I'm better than these other devotees that don't seem to know. See, Jayananda never had that mentality. He never had anything even slightly tinged by that kind of thinking or mood. His mood was everyone else was a pure devotee. That was his mood, completely. It was like that. And that's Prabhupada's example as well. Prabhupada, he has made each and every one of us a pure devotee to the extent. And actually, your job is to become an initiating guru, TJ. No, everybody in this room, what are my qualifications to be an initiating guru? About the same as a snowflake in hell. They're not even on the table. Not even on the table. But guess what? I have to try or die trying anyway. Why? Because that is Prabhupada's desire. That is Prabhupada's desire. This material world that we find ourselves in, it's a messy, dirty, disgusting, hellish place where people are going to make all kinds of amazing mistakes. But we got to keep on keeping on anyway. Huh? I got to forgive myself for all my mistakes that I'm still going to keep making. And the ones that I happen to notice maybe a few other people are making. But we're headed the right way. We're all headed in the right direction. So how exciting is that? How fortunate are we? What an amazing job we have. Huh? This is our duty. This is our responsibility. There's nothing better available anywhere. We're very fortunate. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Karuna Nidhi.
I remember about your greatness. One time we had some conflict with some devotee. I had some conflict. There was a big meeting inside this room, office room. Then Sarvapama Prabhu came. He said, Karuna Nidhi, go and beg forgiveness. And I just beg forgiveness. Just lie down. Although he's wrong, but you are right. Go. He pushed me. Okay, go and beg. Beg forgiveness. That's what how to overcome the mistakes. Although other person, other devotee is doing something wrong to you, but he told me, no, he will be satisfied. Okay, go ahead. Very nice. Thank you very much, Sarvabhauma.
You're reminding me of something like that happened for me here in this temple. I was running all around the temple with my kartas, and I was like, I was yelling. I was loud and obnoxious, and I was calling out to everyone. I was saying, we have to go on Harinam. We have to go out there. We have to go out and chant. We got to go out and chant public. We got to do it. We have no choice. There's no other way. You know, I was like a barking dog. So somehow or another, I got to the landing out there where the Govinda sign on the outside, you know, that corner of the building. And the temple president had caught up with me by that time. He grabbed the kartals out of my hand and he threw them on the ground. Clang, clang, clang. And he said to me, Sarvapama, Sarvapama, if you want to go on Harinam, then you go on Harinam. Like that. And at the time, I was thinking, what can I do? I'm just one little, nothing, nowhere little. I think I might have been, let's see, that was 93. I was still a brahmachari. I'm just one little brahmachari. What can I do? No one else wants to help me or be involved. I was thinking like that. And that was 93. And then, but gradually, over the course of time, 95, I got kicked out of this temple for good reasons. I was a jerk. And I ended up in Alachua, Florida, Sudharma. Wonderful Mataji, she said, oh, you can come to there and you'll work for ISKCON World Review. Later became Hare Krishna World. So they got a job for me down there. So I went down to Alachua, Florida. And I'm on a farm, you know, and I'm harassing everyone. We got to go out every day and chant public on a farm. So ridiculous. So the head of the whole operation, pretty much, not everyone realizes that, but he gave me the boot. So I got booted out of Alachua. But no, all the time, though, I was thinking to myself, you know, I owe a big debt of gratitude to like you were saying, I don't know exactly what I did. I probably was offensive. I committed an offense to Karunaniti, but somehow he's appreciating it. So that's what is inspiring me to make the comparison that, you know, I was feeling offended by, you know, the temple president, but he had good information for me, apparently, because the more, it took me until actually from 93 to 95 and then 2005. Actually, in 2003, June 9th of 2003, I was sitting in the temple in Alachua, and big tears were coming down my cheeks. And I was thinking to myself, I've committed so many offenses to so many people. All day long, I was like that, crying all day long. June 9th, 2003. And then from 2003 to 2005. Anyway, I could go on. And this is going to get super boring. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. When you came from Florida, wasn't there a time that you came when there was like tornadoes and like hurricanes or tornadoes? Didn't you come here to Chicago at that time? I remember seeing you and I asked you, you know, what had happened, and you said that in Florida that there was a lot of storm damage and everything.
Florida. When I left Florida, I got to the airport. And I put myself in a wheelchair. and I had these poor skycap people had to run me all around the airport to get me onto the right plane.
Oh.
And then when I got to Chicago, I did the same thing.
Oh.
Crazy stuff, you know. I might as well admit it. I'm not going to do stuff like that anymore, though, I promise. I don't think. My wife has me on a tight leash, let me tell you. And Jitendra is keeping an eye on me, so I think things will be okay.
Yeah, one of the greatest opulence of Sarvaprama Prabhu, I'll tell, that he's very fearless. He should be for every devotee. Like Srila Prabhupada is very fearless. And he used to tell rascal and everything, even, you know, scientist, everybody. Similarly, Sarvaprama Prabhu, very fearless. I'll tell you one instance. He posted in Facebook, you know, maybe before this election, presidential election. He posted with a picture. There is someone is touching the electric outlet on the wall. Either you touch Clinton or Trump. So both are dangerous. He used to write anything like. He never cares whether you are a politician or anybody. He's very fearless. I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we'll all survive. In spite of me, I'll survive. And in spite of me, everyone else will probably survive too. Hare Krishna. Jai Karunaniti Ki. Hey, thank you all very much. I love this temple. You know, what you're saying about summer, maybe I get to stay here and participate in those remarkable programs that you're describing. I'm really looking forward to that. He gave me permission to keep my beard. Chaturmas, I said, that's time to shave it off. My wife said, no, you keep it. Anyway, and now you're agreeing. So who knows? Hare Krishna. I don't know what's happening. Jai Glory Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Pretty bad.